I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, sometimes you make plans to preach things like weeks and weeks before the time that you get there, and then when you actually arrive at the Sunday that you're meant to preach what you plan to preach and what you felt called to preach, you realize that the context that you're in makes everything you're going to say particularly a little charged. So I'm just putting that out there. Don't want you to misunderstand me, but I got to preach what I got to preach. So I want to talk to you today about the lie of redemptive violence. I've been thinking about this, I've been praying about it, and if you've never heard of this phrase before, what it is the lie of redemptive violence is that if someone does something wrong, unjust, violent to you, that if you do something wrong, unjust, and violent to them, you will make it right. You'll sort of like balance it out. So things can be redeemed through a corresponding act of aggression or violence, okay? This is the thing. It's not true. It's untrue. It's untrue for lots of reasons, but it is something that is so baked in to the human experience, something that is so just like part of the furniture, it is really hard to see it and identify it for the first time. But boy, let me tell you, once you see it once, you can't unsee it, right? You see it, you're like, oh my gosh, this is everywhere, right? Last week on TV, the movie Taken was on. Do you guys know Taken? Like 10 years ago, Liam Neeson like refashions himself as an action hero, which by the way, I'm totally into. Like I buy it all day. Liam Neeson can do that. And so he basically plays this like retired CIA operative whose daughter gets kidnapped by human traffickers while she's following a band in Europe. And so basically her dad goes on this tear, employing, as he says, a very specific skill set. And hit, right? That's a bad Liam Neeson impression, but you get it. And so he basically goes after these guys, and you sort of find yourself watching this movie, watching him do increasingly horrible things to these people, being like, yeah, get them, right? They're the bad guys. And if you wanted to boil the movie down into like its most sort of simple plot points, it would go something like this. Liam Neeson is a good guy. The bad guys do something bad to the good guy. They kidnap his daughter. And so then the good guy has to do some bad things to the bad guys. They get mad about that, and then they retaliate against the good guy, but he gets away and captures one of them. And so then the good guy tortures the bad guy and finds out where his daughter is so he can go and do more bad things to the bad guys. They go, though, and get their buddies, and more of them come together, and so there's more bad guys. They do more bad things to the good guy. It looks like the good guy's going to lose, but finally at the end, he's able to do one more bad thing to them that before they could do a bad thing to him, and so he gets his daughter back and he wins. It is this ping pong match, right? Of violence, and it is the lie of redemptive violence in narrative form. Ping, pong. You do this to me, I'm gonna do that to you. You do that to me, I'm gonna do it to you. And let me tell you, it is totally true in the movies, but it's also true with ex-wives and with ex-husbands. It's true in the office with office drama. It's true in politics, and it is true between countries. The myth of redemptive violence says we can make this right if we do to them what they did to us. Now, there are lots of issues with why I call this an untruth. There are some that are just kind of basic, like we have thousands of years of history that shows this doesn't work. There are other issues with it. Mostly the fact that no one in this circumstance ever learns anything, right? It just kind of keeps moving. That's why there's not just Taken, but there's Taken 2. And there's Taken 3. And there's Taken 4, I think. And now there's also a TV show based on Taken. Which I think, honestly, by like the third time your kid gets taken, that's on you, Liam Neeson. Like, this is your problem at that point. The myth of redemptive violence says your only choice is to keep it in circulation. But it's an untruth. And the reason I want to talk about it today is because it is never more clearly critiqued than it is on Palm Sunday, when we read the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem, and then we conclude that story with him dying on the cross. Because when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he is hailed as a king. We wave palm branches, right? We were excited, and they were excited on that day. Jesus is coming in. But you don't have to dig very far in the history to realize that the palm symbol was the fighting symbol of the zealots. And the zealots were like the guerrilla terrorists of the Hebrew people. And when they're waving those palm branches, they are thinking that Jesus is coming in to throw off the Roman occupation that's upon them. Jesus is coming in here to take Jerusalem back. Jesus is coming in here, he's going to fight fire with fire. He's going to show Caesar who's boss. The real king is showing up, and he has a very specific skill set. And like the myth of redemptive violence perpetuates, is basically there comes a point where somebody crosses a line, and so you feel like, well, whatever we do back is justified, man, because they did it to me first, right? And it keeps going. And so Jesus shows up, and they're expecting him to be this kind of king, and then by the end of the story, you watch this king get arrested, get convicted on trumped-up charges that are unjust, get beaten, humiliated, mocked, stripped naked, and executed as an enemy of the state. He dies on the cross. Jesus loses, right? By every standard that we have, Jesus totally loses. There's nothing about his kingship that works, except this isn't the end of the story, is it? No. We know the end of the story is Easter, is resurrection. We know that actually, while it appears that Jesus is losing, he actually is winning. In the moment where he dies on the cross, he defeats death. He judges and condemns sin. He gets rid of it. He heals the world by dying. This is where God's new world begins. New creation starts with Jesus losing. And Jesus would say in this space that it is better to die and to give yourself and give your life than to keep the violence in circulation. The cross calls out the myth of redemptive violence, and it says, there might be another way. Now, this can be confusing sometimes because super religious people that are very like committed and churchy and do lots of Christian stuff sometimes tell the story of the cross like this. They're like, okay, here's the deal with that. Jesus is on that cross because God needed a sacrifice, and so Jesus is a sacrifice, and so God kills Jesus in order to satisfy this sort of cosmic imbalance of things, and that's why Jesus died on the cross, right? Do you know what that is? That's the myth of redemptive violence. That is the myth of redemptive violence in spiritual words. It's so painfully ironic because it's taking the very event that heals that and critiques it and uses it to justify it. And let me tell you, we don't need a God like that. We don't need a God that's just as caught up in this myth of redemptive violence as we are. We don't need that. Nobody needs that. That's exhausting. That's a God that's just as trapped as we are. We need something different. And that is the invitation of the cross. The cross, every time you see the cross, and I want to do this on Holy Week because I want to invite you, when you're looking at that palm cross that's on your lapel or that you're holding, when you see a cross this week as we walk this path with Jesus, I want you to consider the cross, every time you see it, is it a question? And is the question of the cross asking, is there a better way, another way to be human? Is there another way to do this? What really heals the world? this or the cross. Are you with me? Now, the question then that I would love to explore, first off, I was thinking about this at the first service. There's a lot to explore in this, and like I know a lot of you have a lot of questions. Some of you are probably misunderstanding me right now and thinking I'm making like some sort of pointed statement about something. I'm not. I'm just preaching the gospel. And that, I guess, is a pointed statement in and of itself. There are really interesting, nuanced conversations to be had inside this paradigm about like how countries comport themselves, the way institutions would wrangle with this, how the church gets involved. They're really interesting. I can't do that. I have like two more minutes. So what I want to do is I want to take it down personal for you, because this is about Holy Week and I'm doing this today because I want to invite you to contemplate and meditate on this. If the myth of redemptive violence keeps the violence in circulation, it never stops it, it just keeps it moving, right? I want you to consider, is there anywhere in your life that you're keeping something going, right? Is there a place where she did that to me? Maybe it's in your family. She said that thing about me. My sister said that thing about me to my brother. I can't believe she said that. Well, you know what? At Thanksgiving this year, I'm going to give her the cold shoulder. Did you see the cold shoulder she was giving me? I'm sick. I'm going to give her the cold shoulder. Can you believe how rude she is to me? I'm not going to invite her to my kid's wedding, right? And it escalates. Do you know this? There it is. It's the lie of redemptive violence, right? Ping pong. Is there anywhere this is true in your life? Is there anywhere you're keeping the story going, you're keeping the offense going, you're keeping it fresh, you're trying to get people on your side, it's pinging and it's ponging? What would it mean for you to say it stops here? What would it mean for you to say, like Jesus, this is the end of it? Better to die to this than to keep the violence in circulation. Now, if you choose to follow Jesus on this path of the cross, if you choose to take up your cross and live this, I need to warn you. There is a chance that when you choose this path, when you choose not to engage in the lie of redemptive violence, that it will look like you are losing. That it will look like you're losing. You send the kids to your ex-spouse's house. They get all this information and lies and negativity and toxic stuff fill in their heads, and they come back home, right? If you choose not to say, oh, they said that about me, let me tell you what's really going on. If you choose not to do this, it'll look like you're losing. It'll absolutely look like you're losing. If there's office drama and so-and-so in accounting, absolutely misunderstood what you were doing, and they are so, they're like human sandpaper, and you're just so annoyed with them, and you're getting people, they said that thing about you, and so you're getting people on your side, and you're making your case. If you choose to stop making your case, it might look like you lose, okay? Absolutely, it totally might. But I will tell you, losing hurts, and it causes pain, but it is the kind of pain that can create a new world. This is the only way things ever get better. This is the only way things really get healed. If it wasn't true, Jesus would have done it another way, but he didn't. This is how Jesus says it stops here. This is how new creation happens. This is the path to resurrection. The question for you on Palm Sunday is, do you believe that? And if you believe it, will you take up your cross and follow him too? Because here's the thing, if you want to put a stop to the myth of redemptive violence, if you see it, if you're kind of seeing it today and you're like, oh my gosh, that's a thing, I don't want to be part of that, then always be aware, somebody has to go first. Somebody has to go first in putting a stop to it. Is that person you? Could you do it? Could you be the one that puts a stop to it, that says no? May you seek the God that strengthens us, that heals this world through self-sacrificial love. May you seek that God to give you the courage and the strength and the stamina to say no it stops here with me. And may you find, as you take up your cross and endure whatever pain that causes you, may you find that to actually be the only way of life. Amen.